Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1. This week, we're back with more games. But this week, it's the Top 5 video games that we're playing right now. A lot of people are always interested in the video games and the other games that we're playing, so periodically, we will bring this one up again. I think we just did this last year. But the top 5 video games we're playing right now. Matthew, what video game are you playing right now?
I'm not playing any video game. I'm recording a podcast.
Oh, he's learning, ladies and gentlemen. He can be taught.
Okay.
What is your number 5, Matthew?
Rude.
What is
your number evil. 5?
That's true. You know Matthew's computer can't run a game and podcasting stuff at the same time.
At 2, Rodrigo? At 2?
All right, I'm done. You do your thing.
We're at number 5, Matthew. We'll get to number 2 later in the show.
No, that's the number of fingers that I have for the two of you. My number 5 is actually one that I used to play, but I don't anymore. But here's the deal. When you download my number 5, Candy Crush, you download it to your particular phone or tablet or whatever device. There is a way to sync it, but you have to, you know, go through like hoops and like open an account or something and probably microtransactions. But my wife has an iPhone, whatever the new one is, 15, 17, 27, I don't know. It's purple. I know that. And she has been playing the Candy Crush forever. So every once in a while, I will be like, can I borrow your phone? She's like, why? I'm like, because I want to see if you have any candy to crush. And so I go in. She's on like level 1350. And at level 1350, all of the little gimmicks and gonzos are out. And it's like weird and crazy nonsense. And they're like, this is a super nightmarishly hard, stupid level. And I'm like, fine. Every once in a while, I do admit that I'm just like, hey, look, 99 cents, I can buy some boosters. Because, you know, with the iPhone, you can just put it on your thing. And then the account will come out at the end of the month. And you don't have to actually physically have money. So you can play and you can sit and you can kill time. Like when the child had their rehearsals, they would have a school play rehearsal till like 4:20. And I get off work at 3:15, or I did at the time. So by the time you pick me up, you go out, you start driving home, you might as well just drive to the school, kill 15 minutes playing the Candy Crush, pick up the child, everybody go home. You know, we have a nice, you know, whatever we're going to eat. So the thing about it is, and when I mentioned this, everyone in the house went, be careful, because as soon as you say that, people are going to be like, that's not a real game. That's a mobile game.
Mobile games are video games.
Mobile game.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I said. The largest marketplace for video games is mobile devices. And if we're going to count that in there, then the largest demographic of video game players is women. So all of your heads who are exploding, guess what? Women got you beat when it comes to the video games.
That all the ladies in your house warned you, because I'm sure lots of people have said that to them.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And the thing that's very important to me, and this is the thing, is I have had my hobby define my life before. I don't do it anymore. But there was a time in my life when I would be like, yes, comic books are the be all and the end all. And people would come in and I'd be like, yeah, you're a real fan of comics. Who invented the vigilante in 1941? And everybody would be like, oh, no. And every once in a while, you'd meet that one jerk who'd be like, it was 1940. And I'd be like, ah, well met, fellow samurai, and we would turn around and walk off the bridge. If you're doing that with video games, first of all, I love you. Second of all, don't do that anymore. That was my number five, and a PSA.
All right. My number five, if you remember the last time we did board games, right? My number one was Street Masters. Well, my number five video game is also Street Masters. The iOS
How
version.
How can it be both?
Because they have a board game version, the tabletop version, which is a heck of a lot of fun. But I'll be honest, all the expansions and all the things that I have take up a lot of space, and sorting through all that stuff to set up a really quick 20-30 minute game is kind of a pain unless you're having a lot of people over. And certainly doing that for a solo game can be kind of daunting. And by the time you're done setting up the board game, it's time to go eat dinner or something like that. But there is an iOS version of this, and it is super solid. It's got all of the characters. It's got all the cards. It's got all the moves. And best of all, and this is the reason why I like playing board games on in electronic form, it knows all of the rules. So if you're iffy on a rule, playing a iOS version or a electronic version of a board game actually helps you learn the game better and helps you to figure out the best strategies and the best methods for defeating the boss. So yes, Street Masters on my iPad is fantastic. For people who've seen me play it on any of the Saturday streams, you know that I enjoy that game. Street Masters iOS, though, only makes my number five slot this week.
So what could be number one?
I know, right? Rodrigo, what do you have for your number five?
My number five is a game that I haven't picked up in a little bit, but I'm technically always playing, and that's Pokemon Sword. I usually the lifetime for a Pokemon game that I'm playing is I'll pick it up, I'll play through the story in a few weeks, and then I'll probably keep playing it for maybe an additional month tops, but usually just a few weeks, while I either try to catch them all or give up on catching them all. Pokemon Sword is different, and it's the only Pokemon game that I've continued to play regularly after, after you know, whatever the usual lifetime is. And that's because, even though all Pokemon games, going back to the first one, have some sort of competitive feature where you can fight other people's Pokemon, this one was the first one that I remember that has a significant cooperative feature, and that's max raids and eventually max adventures, I think are called, where you basically do a bunch of max raids in a row. But yeah, so in Pokemon Max Raids, you and three other people, which can be real people or they can be computer helpers, fight one giant size Pokemon, right? Because that was the gimmick for Sword and Shield, is basically you can turn your Pokemon into kaiju. Max raids are a way to more easily get Pokemon with better stats. They're a way to more easily get shiny Pokemon. So if you're into either of those things, this game makes that a lot easier. And so every once in a while, I'll just hop in and do that. And because all that it really requires is for you to pick stuff out of a menu every once in a while, and then let the animations play out, I can often do it while I'm doing something else. So one thing that I've started doing is sometimes when I'm doing some sort of task and I don't feel up for it because of health reasons, but it needs to get done, right? It's like we have zero dishes done in the house, you know, or whatever. I will set that up and play while I'm loading the dishwasher, or whatever else, or doing laundry or whatever. And it makes it a lot easier because it's distracting, right? There's something that you're doing every once in a while, and you can keep doing that. So yeah, my number five, Pokemon Sword.
Nice. Let us move quickly up to our number four. Matthew, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is a game that I am not ashamed to say is older than some of our listeners. And the reason for that is that, well, I'm old. And more importantly, back in the, I'm going to say the early 1990s, I don't remember when this came out, Nintendo was like, hey, you know, it would be great. And everybody said, what? And they're like, we're going to make this game console. We're going to call it the N64. And it's going to be super simple. It's going to be super adaptable, and it's going to have tons of cool games, even though it only has, like, I don't know, 64 bytes of RAM or whatever the 64 stands for. I don't know. Something about polygons. But I bought a 64 back in the day to buy a game called WrestleMania 2000, which is not on this list because I haven't played it in probably 5 or 10 years. But when we moved to this new house, we actually had enough room to set up all the televisions that I own. So we actually have a 48-inch television in my room. We have a 48-inch television in the basement. We have a 58-inch television in the living room. And in the basement, we have all of the old video game systems set up on a little switcher, including the N64. And for some reason, I guess it's enjoying a resurgence, maybe on the Switch platform. My kid is obsessed with playing Mario Kart 64, which is my number four game. It's, you know, 3D graphics, which is great, but it's not like super realistic, creepy 3D graphics, which is fine. It looks okay on a big HD television, which is, you know, kind of rare. I made the mistake of trying to play a PlayStation 2 game on that thing, and my eyes have not yet stopped bleeding. But you actually, in this game, this is where I think most of the classic Mario Kart tropes really kind of got solidified. There were games before it, there are games after it, but this is the one that I feel like I remember and that a lot of people seem to reference, although it may just be the same people. It's probably Seth Green, now that I think about it, just referencing Donkey Kong driving the cart. Or I know a couple of years ago there was the evil Luigi meme where somebody's car exploded and Luigi drove by with his look on his face like, you deserve that. If you've never played an N64, I will warn you, it has 9 buttons, a trigger, and a joystick under your thumb. So it's really, really easy to accidentally push something wrong. That's not even taking into account the D-pad, which allows you to... So, you know, it can be complicated to get used to, but once you actually lock it down, Mario Kart 64 is maybe 25, almost 30 years old, and this game still rocks. This game is still amazing, and you can, you know, fall into lava and not melt, which I feel is good. Every once in a while, you know, you get hit by a blue shell, and people are like, why is the blue shell in there? And I'm like, because you have to play with your 7-year-old nephew. And at some point, you're going to be playing the game. You're going to be like, ha, I've kicked your butt. 7-year-old nephew's going to go blue shell. You're going to explode. He's going to win. Everybody's going to be happy. And when he's, you know, 30 or 35, you can take him out drinking. And then you can be like, you know what? This is for all that blue shells. I don't know. I have no idea what any of that means. But my number four, Mario Kart 64. Play it now if you can. I think mine cost me like $45. And it wasn't like a mint copy. It was just like, that's what they had in the store.
All right, there you go. My number four is a game I had to walk away from for quite some time because, and it's Red Dead Redemption 2. There is a mission where one of the women of your camp has been taken back by her pimp and taken back to the cat house, right? And so you're supposed to go out there and resolve the problem. And the way you resolve the problem is by lassoing all of the people at the camp up. All the people in that camp are black. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable playing this game anymore. Weird. So I stepped away from that game for about 2 years. But then a bunch of kids in my class are talking about how much fun they're having playing Red Dead Redemption 2 again. And so I said, all right, let me try it. I'm not going to go back to that mission. In fact, I abandoned it. But I really enjoy exploring the world of Red Dead Redemption. It is a truly open world. I mean, there are areas where if you go into, you know, you instantly have bad things happen to you. But, right. And of course, when you hit a mountain or hit a, you know, ocean, you're not going to be able to go past that. But you're free to explore. And there's something to do just about everywhere in that world of Red Dead Redemption 2. And there are times where I'll just happily get on my horse and ride as far as I can ride into the countryside and look at all the animals and do some fishing and swim in a boat and climb on top of a mountain and look at a UFO fly by. It's still very pretty game, although I think they should have had somebody go through all of the missions just to double check on stuff. But Red Dead Redemption 2, my number four video game that I'm playing right now.
I still think you would enjoy Grand Theft Auto because experience with jets.
Well, but I wonder, does Grand Theft Auto allow you to play good?
You can.
So that's the way
think
I play.
It's possible to do a pacifist run.
Yeah. So
playing the story mode, it's going to be really tough because one of the characters is a complete psychopath.
Yeah. So in Red Dead Redemption, you have a, and that's not Arthur. Really a morality, line, but you can either play as someone who's quote unquote bad or someone who is quote unquote good. So if I go
you
and somebody's
a white hat.
Yeah. So if somebody's like, oh no, I fell off my horse. Well, you can either help them and that'll get you a good point, or you can beat them over the head and steal their money and get a bunch of money for your gang. That would be a bad point. And so I tend to favor being the good person. Although, you know, I will go and rob a train if it needs to be robbed, or if there's that one guy that's like, come here and let's do a shooting match, and he beats me and keeps laughing at me, he may wind up dead. But for the most part, I'm on the good side of that line just because I don't like playing the bad person all the time. So that's why I would probably have although Grand Theft Auto 6 or whatever was hacked and it's out there, so maybe I'll go check that out. So Red Dead Redemption 2,
you really should.
My number Grand Theft Auto 4.
Five actually has little missions where you can help people and save their purses from muggers and stuff. It's nice.
Yes. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is a free-to-play game called Gems of War. I may have talked about Gems of War before, but it is a match three game in which you create a team of fantasy warriors and or monsters and or whatever, and those characters each have a spell that they can use, basically one ability that they can use, and when you match three of the right color, it fills up their little magic gauge. When the magic gauge is full, you can use their spell. There's lots of games like that out there, but Gems of War is my game of choice. I have played it on stream a fair deal, and my the people that watch the stream are very fond of it because every time you get a bonus amount of mana, which is relatively frequently, the game goes mana surge. And so mana surge is kind of a joke for people that are watching the stream. It's a lot of fun currently. To a certain degree, it takes over that deck building aspect that I had with Magic the Gathering. I'm not playing Magic Arena anymore. Not because boo Magic Arena or anything like that. Just kind of for personal reasons. But in Gems of War, your team can have synergies. Currently, the team that I'm playing is the sort of linchpin of it is the Black Beast, which can eat other members of your party and basically gains their adds their stats to its stats, right? So it can get pretty big, pretty fast. And then the synergy there is that I have one critter that sacrifices itself to give everybody a bonus, which opens up a slot in the party, and then two other critters that create more critters. So basically, I sacrifice the guy, it gives everybody a bonus, then make new critters, then the beast eats the new critter, right? So it's not actually taking away the production monsters, gets more powerful, and then proceeds to crush everything in its path. It's fun for people that are just I would just like to run the most powerful creatures that have the best stats. You can do that. It's pretty deep. The creatures also get basically static abilities as well. And you can continue to make them better and better. And of course, it's a free-to-play game, which means their money is in the bundles and stuff that you can buy. So you can not just buy new cards or new, you know, playable critters, but also a means to level them up faster, right? So I don't do any of that. I've played Gems of War long enough that I would be more than happy to spend, you know, $30, $60, you know, buying a bundle or whatever. I just haven't come up into something where I like really want something.
Yeah.
But just be aware that if you have like this sort of, I don't know, personality or propensity to get pulled into that kind of a thing, this definitely has that. But there's lots of free content.
Nice. Matthew, we are in our middle position on our list with number three. What do you have for your number three? And it'd be really funny if it was pole position.
It would be, but it's not. However, I can make a connection because I can explain to you how this all works. Pole Position was released by a company called Atari, and Atari was founded by a guy named Nolan Bushnell, who kind of invented the first recognizable video game, Pong, back in like 1975, I thought. What Bushnell did after that was say, hey, you know what would be great is if we could take these video games and make like an experience out of them. And so he founded a company called Showbiz Pizza. Now, there's a whole complicated thing about Showbiz Pizza and Chuck E. Cheese. And suffice to say that much like early DC comics, there's a lot of I bought you out, you bought me out, and everybody got bought out. And there are no more Showbiz Pizzas anymore. Let's take a moment of silence. Thank you. But what Showbiz had was animatronic bears, questionable pizza, but most importantly, it had animatronic bears. And they were creepy as all heck, which leads us to my number three, one of my Christmas gifts this year, Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, here's the thing about this game. The kid and I played it on Christmas Eve. That Christmas night. It would have been the night of the 25th. And we were so freaked out by the blood-curdling screams as our character was eaten by a robotic chicken that we put it down for like a month. And we came back in January, managed to finish a few missions, and then we were eaten by a weird golden chicken from beyond the grave. It's a horrifying game. And basically, it's a game where someone works in a quote-unquote Showbiz Pizza or a Freddy's Pizza. And your job overnight is to keep the living animatronics who are somehow, you know, arcane or, I don't know, just strangely animated from killing and eating anyone, including you. But you have a limited amount of power to do that. And things that involve power include turning on the lights to check if they're there, closing the doors and keeping them closed, you know, all sorts of things that you might do to avoid being eaten by an animatronic bear. Spoilers, I got eaten by an animatronic bear. So we put it down for about a month. And then my wife was like, hey, what if we played it on the Oculus? Now, if you're familiar with an Oculus, it's a 3D immersive experience where you put on the headset and it's like you're in the game. The screams were incredible. I think it's why we had to move. We have not played the game since, and I'm still not entirely over it. When you say to me Five Nights at Freddy's, I'm like, nope, because I wore the Oculus and that chicken. First of all, chickens should not have teeth. They shouldn't have that many teeth. They shouldn't be that sharp, and they certainly shouldn't be covered in what is clearly blood. But if you've never played Five Nights at Freddy's, I promise I'm not drinking. If you've never played Five Nights at Freddy's, I recommend it because it's a lot of fun. It's just that you may have to take long breaks to, you know, scrub the horror from your mind before you come back and scream again. It literally, my child was like, I have never heard you scream like that except for that time you got stung by a wasp.
Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's caused a crisis at my sister's house because my nephew loved it and kept wanting to play it and kept watching videos, but also it scared him to his little core. So mm-hmm. he was not sleeping at night because he was terrified that mm-hmm. like the eye patch fox was going to eat him or whatever.
Oh, don't mention the eye patch fox.
So
he's creepy.
Like as a family, we had to like address the Five Nights at Freddy's crisis and be like, okay, what are we going to do to like get this kid off of this? So
you distract him by talking about the back rooms.
Yeah, it's an intense game, definitely.
Yeah. All right. My number three is not Assassin's Creed Odyssey, although I enjoy playing that one a whole heck of a lot. But again, the kids in my class after Red Dead Redemption, they're like, oh, man, we really like playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla, the Viking version of Assassin's Creed. And I played it a long time ago, but then I set it aside because I kind of like some of the key button mechanics that were in Odyssey. And I switch back to it. But again, the students are like, oh, man, Valhalla is really fun. I'm like, OK, let me pick it up. And they're right. It is really fun. I do like the setting. I do like the lore that's created in this version of Assassin's Creed. Really a lot of fun. A lot of the same kind of things that you're doing. Right. You're building the greater story. You're trying to find out, you know, the secret thing that's going on and killing and the slashing. And for me, anytime that I play Assassin's Creed, setting myself on fire. A lot, but it's still fun. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, my number three in my top five tabletop games. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number three? And do you set yourself on fire in it?
I do not, no. Because I don't think the game could handle that. My number three is WWE 2K22.
Oh,
that's a game that. Mm-hmm. And I specifically got 22 because, okay, so the story is if you've only ever heard of one wrestling video game, it was either SmackDown versus Raw for like the GameCube, I think, which was probably the best one ever made. You know, I'm just like, this is just a community thing. Like, we can argue this all day. It's fine. Or it was WWE 2K20, which was the buggiest wrestling game ever made. And that is saying something. That is so saying something you don't understand. Like, that game was unplayable. It was so bad. And it was so bad.
How bad was it?
It was so bad that instead of coming out with a 2K21 next year, they just didn't. They just spent 2 years working on a 2K22. And that's what came up. So I should clarify that this is a wrestling game, and it's a game in which you can take wrestlers from the WWE stables and have them wrestle each other. Or you can create your own wrestler. And I should say the WWE stables as a single snapshot, probably a year and a half before the game came out, right? Because even when the game comes out, there's a bunch of people that have been fired, right? And a bunch of new people every time. But anyway, I do not actually play the game. I don't ever control a wrestler to fight other wrestlers. What I sometimes do is I have two computer-controlled wrestlers fight each other because what I care about is the character generator, which is very good. It's actually probably not as good as 2K18's. Actually, in general, 2018 is a stronger version of this game, but I'm not playing that as much because I have 2K22 in my computer. 2K18 is in my PlayStation 4, and I have to go through a lot of hoops to get an image from there into my computer. So I'm like, well, I'll just get one on my computer and just make new wrestlers. So it's very good for that. And it is how I have made characters. If you've ever seen, I don't know if you can find it in my Twitter, but I don't know if there's a lot of places where you've seen like Hecubino's art for drifters. Like, I made that Hecubino in a WWE game. Same thing with like some NPCs that we had in
the Void Saga.
In the Void Saga, yeah, you could always tell the you could always tell the NPCs that were made there because they always looked a little bit too shiny, like a little bit like oily, because you can't turn the oil all the way down. That's right. Just a wrestler thing, I guess. But I have lots of fun making it. This is another one that I've played on stream. And by play, I mean, I just sit there making wrestlers and talking to people. And everybody enjoys that pretty well.
Very cool. All right. Before we get to our number twos, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that if you're enjoying the show, find some value in the knowledge that we are dropping on you. And maybe you've picked up a few games that are like, oh, I haven't played that game in a while. I will go back and revisit. Then maybe help us out a little bit and join our growing community of patrons over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. A couple of bucks a month helps keep this show going and all the shows of the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. Plus, you get to become a superhero, our superhero. So what are you waiting for? Come join our superhero community over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Now let's get into our number twos. Matthew, what do you have for number two? And does it have a two in it?
Why would it have a two in it?
I guess we're at our number twos.
But my number four had a five.
Well, see. You're...
And my number five had a 64. Wait, what? What number are we at? Okay, so here's the deal. Not so long ago, maybe, God, less than a year ago, the world exploded and went, oh my God, have you seen this, the Wordle? And I was like, yeah, I've seen this, the Wordle. And people are like, okay, well, there's the Wordle. For a while, my kid was super hooked on the Wordle. But being my kid and being 18, they do have the tendency to go, meh, this is not my fun anymore. About maybe 6-8 weeks ago, I got this thing that said, hey, let's play this game. It is our number two game. It's called Wordzy, which is like Wordle, only with Yahtzee. And basically, the game is sort of a specialized take on Scrabble with Wordzy, and it is another mobile game that I play on my phone. You have five slots. You have a 3, 4, 5, and 6. 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Ha ha, that's five. Letter words. And it just randomly throws letters at you, and you have to make the best word. And there are, you know, random scoring. Some letters are more, you know, Scrabble tiling is there, so your Z's and your P's are more. But the further you play through each round, the values increase. So if you have a Z and you play it in your first round, it's worth 10 points. If you play it in the last round, it's worth 50. And as you get through, you can, you know, put in different words. We're literally at the point now where we're playing three games constantly. And of course, her mother is also involved. So I have three games with her. Random people are like, hey, let's play the Wordzy. And I've kind of gotten to the point now where I'm like, hey, what words can I spell that I don't use a million times? Because, you know, for some reason, the word Z-A-Za, short for pizza, is a legit word in this game. Hmm. I don't like that word. That's cheating. That's
heurists.
Like, you know, not going to work. Exactly. And so as I go through, I'm like, hey, what new words can I use? And also it's fun to throw out letters and realize that it's accepting it as a word that you've never seen before. I'm like, I don't know what a Rosina is with a Z. And I'm like, so I have to go and I have to look out what it is. But it's something that, you know, kind of makes your brain think. And it's good for a few seconds at a time, which, given the nature of my job, is actually good. Things that can just take a few seconds, maybe in between calls or while you're ignoring somebody on a call, whatever it is you need to do, Wordzy, is a really, really good take. And if you're on Wordzy, you could probably find me as DeCobra, because they didn't have enough room for Mighty King Cobra. Because, you know, why would they? That's like 12 whole letters. But I'm not bitter about it. I just like to complain. And that's why my number two is Wordzy.
Have you played Quartal?
Quartal I played, but I didn't like Quartal because Quartal was like five things at a time.
Yeah, I think it's four things at a time, but yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the chord part.
Yeah.
My job is five things at a time. And so when I have to do five things at a time and it's like pressure-y, it feels like work. Whereas if I do one thing and five other things, but I enjoy one of the things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my wife enjoys the Quartal. She finds it challenging.
Yeah, the Quartal was challenging in a way that I didn't want to be challenged, in that it felt like work. Like, I still do the Wordle, and if I'm like, hey, I'm going to put the Wordle on my Twitter, just why not? But the Quartal always just kind of felt like a high-level, like Amy Santiago-level puzzler game. And I'm like more of a, you know, Lieutenant Hitchcock kind of puzzle guy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does, yeah, to Rodrigo. I know, yeah.
My number two is a game that it's probably the game that I'm really bad at of all these games. It's the one I'm the worst at. But my son plays the soccer, and every year when they come out with the new FIFA game, he's always wanting to buy it and play it. And I enjoy sometimes when he'll let me watch for a few minutes before he's like, get out of here, Dad. So I decided that I would also get the FIFA 2022 so I could learn this game and play it, and play it badly. But I enjoy some of it. There's certain things in these kinds, you know, the hockey games, the soccer games, the basketball games all have, in my opinions, something that I don't like about them. And it's the fact that you're like playing, you know, 11 people at the same time. And it's like, well, I'd rather just play the one person and, you know, play the game that way. But even then, I'd still be just running around in a circle in the corner of the field, or I'm sorry, the pitch. And that would just be embarrassing. So is it fun? Yes, it's fun. Am I going to get good enough to where I can gain a large following of people on the Twitch stream, to where I can go and buy my own English, not even Premier League team, National League team, and be like Ryan Reynolds and what's his name? Green.
Rob McElhenney.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not going to get that rich off of it. Is it fun? Yes. Do I torment my son when I show him highlights of how bad I'm playing? Yes. And so that is why I have that game, and that is why it is my number two. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number two?
Let's see. My number two is a game that I started playing a few days ago, and it has already become a problem. I have somewhat kind of overbooked myself this year as far as really as far as games go, right? I'm writing a supplement for the Beacon RPG. I'm running my Exalted game that I've been running for the past 5 years, and I also started running another Lancer home game. And so I don't have a lot of time. And then I started playing Gloomhaven, and Gloomhaven is a board game, but they've made a video game version of it, and it really, unfortunately, scratches this like tactical RPG itch that I have. I mean, Lancer does that too, but in Lancer, I'm the one that's supposed to come up with like the puzzles for the players to solve. In Gloomhaven, I'm solving the, you know, sort of tactical puzzle of it. And it is already kind of a thing where I'm like, okay, I'll get home after work and I'll just play a little bit of Gloomhaven, and I'll look over and I'm like, oh, it's already 2:30 a.m. Yeah. Well, just one more mission, yeah, right? So it's a real issue, because I actually don't have very good like personal tools to get myself out of that, except to play it until that settles. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably just go to bed at 3 a.m. every night for the next couple weeks until I'm like, until like the fever breaks. But yeah, Gloomhaven is like this sort of D&D-ish game. You're supposed to manage an adventurer in the game, in the campaign. You can actually, because it's very complicated, but the computer takes care of all of the stuff. Yes. You can actually basically play up to four characters. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if you're playing the board game, you have like your own character to worry about and all of their stats and stuff. Here, the computer takes care of that. So yeah, you basically play a bunch of adventures, go into dungeons, fight monsters, get loot, click on a hexagonal grid, which just floods dopamine into my brain. So yeah, my number two, Gloomhaven.
Yeah, that is a fun game, both on the board game and the electronic version of that. I like the electronic version better, because again, all the mechanics that's going on. Right. I had to stop playing it because my youngest would want to play with me, and he doesn't like to lose. And man, the first couple of games
game
we're winning
hard.
Yeah. The first couple of games we were winning, and then we hit the fourth game and the fourth mission, and it suddenly became super challenging and we lost. And he's like, I'm never playing this game again.
Yeah.
I got very upset with it. So
it's tough. I don't win very much. That might help. I might get frustrated enough, but I don't know. I keep losing and I still like it. So
yeah, no, it's fun. A lot of people really enjoy that. So
yeah,
very good. All right, we have reached the top of the charts. Matthew, what do you have as your number one video game that you are playing right now?
Sorry, I got distracted. I just got an email from Mrs. Lopez that says Gloomtervention. Apparently, I'm flying to the West Coast. Oh, sorry. So here's the thing. I think we have done this a couple, three times, and I'm pretty sure that my number one game now is the same as it was then and the same as it was the time before that, because it's the number one game in my house since about 2012. Although I am on the third update, currently I'm playing the Ultimate Evil Edition. Previously, I did the Reaper of Souls Edition, and then the original of my number one, Diablo 3, which is wonderful in a couple of ways. One, it has not quite as robust a character creator as the WWE games that Rodrigo keeps taunting me that I need to buy. I had 2010, I had like 110 guys. I had multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. I had my own feeder federation, and I was just getting ready, you know, to pull a guy up, but that's fine. It happens. My PlayStation 3 exploded. They were all gone. And, you know, I just kind of had to go, I don't know if I can rebuild 110 people. But then came Diablo 3, where I could build 10. And if I wanted to do more than 10, I had to nuke somebody. And the thing about Diablo 3 that is so much fun is it was initially released in 2012. Literally, new content came out on the 30th of last month. There is constant updating. They have something called the seasonal mode, where you can go in and you can play, you know, at a different level. You can create a character who exists solely in the season. You can play the game as a normal game, or you can play hardcore mode, where you create a character, and if she dies, she's gone forever. And I say she because I almost exclusively create female characters in the game, for a couple of reasons. One, the voice work is stunning, but the male voice actors kind of get on my nerves, especially the male magician. Whereas the female magician sounds exactly like Jenna Coleman and is like super, super cocky and annoying. But
in a good way.
Right, right. In a way that says, ha ha, I'm Jenna Coleman, ha ha. But this morning I was playing and I leveled up. Now, the thing is, you have 70 character levels, after which you go into what's called Paragon Tier. So I leveled up my sorcerer. Her name is Jadalyn. Jadalyn is now level 600 and what's 27 plus 70? 697. So I have just a ton of these Paragon levels, which also means that if you create a new character, you have Paragon points to spend on a brand new character. So you can go in, you can literally run the story mode again. And because of the randomization of the game, it won't be the exact same experience. So your dungeons will change, your rewards will change, the general gist of the fights will be the same. Characters will fight and attack the same way, but you won't have the same sequence. So if you go and you fight, say, level one Ender the Butcher, and then you come back and you fight him again, the only thing that's going to remain static is the specific powers that he uses. And each character can be customized with multiple powers, multiple things. I have three magicians right now, and they have three different attack styles. One is all fire-based, one is multi-elemental, and one is an ice character. And so you have these different effects, these different attacks, and depending on what you find, you know, you may find, hey, here's a helmet that boosts my lightning attacks.
Yeah,
so then
fun.
You're like, yeah, I'm going to build a lightning character based around this hat. But when you get into the post game, the post story game mode, you can also go into this weird adventure mode where you can just randomly run around and you could go into what's called a rift. And a rift is just a random creation. So they grab a bunch of random monsters, they make a random maze. The thing about it is every monster in the game can be randomly in there. Today I ran into a level which was entirely filled with treasure goblins. And each treasure goblin is loaded down with a big, you know, chunks of treasure and magical junk and all of these crafting supplies. So I literally had 50, 60 treasure goblins, blew them up, had to go back to town twice to unload all the things that I found from them and went back in. It's a game that even if you're just doing something that you did last time, you come in, you take the character, you run through a thing, it's different. And even when you have moments like the characters say the same things in battle, you're just like, oh, yeah, it's a catchphrase. It's not repetitious content. It's like, suit up! Plus, I discovered this the hard way, if you leave the game running but don't move the thing, the characters start to complain. They're like, yeah, you know, we should be doing something. And the wizard is like, this is totally wasting my skills. And I love the fact that the game is that aware. When Scott said a few weeks ago on the Major Spoilers podcast that it was his favorite game, I was just like, besties! Diablo 3 should have been number 3, but it is my number 1 because I literally played it after I got up this morning, and I'll probably play it tonight before I go to bed.
Nice. My number 1 is a super chill, relaxing game that I think everybody needs to get. Unfortunately, it's only available on the PC through Steam, which is the big downside, because if this was on a Mac, I would never stop playing it. But it is a world building game where you are given a set number of tiles to begin with, like, I don't know, 70 tiles. And you have to lay these tiles out onto the board. And there are rules, like certain things can only connect to certain things. And you have goals that you're trying to achieve, like so many trees that you have to get in a grouping, so many houses in a grouping. You have to lay down so many river tiles, these kinds of things. And it's never the same game twice. And as you complete missions, you get more tiles so you can build your world bigger and bigger and bigger. And you can keep going indefinitely, providing that you can continue to complete the little missions that are set up in the game. And it is a joy. It is called Dwarf Romantic. D-O-R-F.
Oh, with Tim
Romantic.
Conway?
No, sounds like that, but it's not. But it is just it's got some chill music. It's got the really cutest little tiny tiles and little images. Like you can build a forest and a little deer will come out, and you can build a village and, you know, build a town and get it bigger and bigger. I would say it's kind of like Carcassonne, but it's not. But it is definitely the most relaxed game that you will ever play. I mean, it gets frustrating at times because you're like, oh, I just need to complete this one section of town and I'll score 1,000 buildings. And then you can never get that tile, or you mess up. I think they have implemented an undo feature for at least the last tile that you placed, because you might place a tile and go, oh no, I should have placed this tile on the other side of the map where I'm almost done with this, this goal, this mission. But it is so fun. And I have one of these Samsung ultra wide monitors, you know, that's essentially two monitors, but as one monitor. And playing Dwarf Romantic on an ultra wide monitor that basically takes up most of your main vision is just amazing to play that. So if you guys get a chance, Dwarf Romantic, super great, super fun. The rules set is super simple. You can learn it in 5 minutes and it will, you'll be able to play it for decades. It's so much fun. That's my number one, Dwarf Romantic. Rodrigo, what do you
prequel Dwarf on Golf?
Yes, I'm sure you did. Rodrigo, what is your number one video game that you are playing right now?
My number one video game that I'm playing right now is Pyre. I think I've talked to you guys about Pyre before, but Pyre is sort of two separate things. One of them is a visual novel. And like some of the better visual novels, your choices really impact how it develops. And then the other half is a fantasy basketball game. And I've played through the game. I played the game all the way through once. But every once in a while, I think to myself, I really want to play 3-on-3 fantasy basketball. It's probably more like handball the way that it actually plays out, but nobody knows how. Nobody knows what handball is. The characters are fantastical. So there are some like human-looking characters. There are characters that are huge. There are characters who can fly. There are characters who are like quadrupeds. And basically, it is just like grab the orb and then plunge it into the enemy's pyre. And that's how you win. And that includes also just launching yourself into the pyre, which, you know, doesn't kill you or one of your characters. Mm-hmm. But it does, it gives you more points, but it takes the character out for the next go round until another point is scored. There are lots of items that you can equip that do things like expand your aura, which is the way that you can zap other people, make your character faster, make your character jump higher or farther, give you more points when you do something in particular, like when you, you know, alley-oop it into the fire or whatever. Yeah, there's lots going on, and the story is very cool and impactful. And it's the sort of thing where if you win or lose, the game is like, okay, and then just writes the story as it goes. So you can definitely just play Pyre, just play the game side of it, right? You can go into this menu, and not only does it have all the characters you can play in the story mode, it actually has a bunch of NPC characters that are playable in sort of the match version of it. So you can sit down with a friend and you can both play Pyre, and you can also just play NPCs who aren't like any more powerful, but they have their own sort of quirks and abilities. Nice. It's from Supergiant Games. It's the same people that did Hades. Everybody loves Hades. I feel like everybody loves Hades or Transistor or Bastion, and Pyre is like the least popular of the Supergiant games. If you like the character work in Hades, I think you'll like Pyre.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm going to have to go check that one out. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Video games we are playing right now because you are constantly wanting to know what we're doing, and we're happy to deliver to you. But here's what we need you to do now. We need you to go over to the Major Spoilers Discord server and join the Top 5 channel over there. That's where you can find other people commenting about previous shows and a bunch of other things. Most importantly, we need you to share your top five video games that you are playing right now, why you enjoy them. And guess what? Everybody's going to respond. Everybody's going to share their list. Everybody's going to read everyone else's list. Why? Because everyone loves a list. And that's this week's show. We will see you next time.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.